All right, we'll go ahead and continue with the Pac-12 Coaches Media Teleconference call. We'll turn to USC coach Steve Sarkisian. The Trojans are on the road at Boston College this week. We'll go ahead and take questions for Coach.
To ask Coach a question, please press star 1. Your first question comes from the line of Craig Thorpe with Salt Lake Tribune.
Steve, I'm just wondering, what would you give to have a drama-free week?
I don't think that exists around here.
What have the last couple weeks been like?
They've been fine. You know, I think that we learned a lot about our team. We learned a lot about the maturity and the leadership on our team. I think that these are great examples for us that we can hold on to for the future, our ability to focus, regardless of the distractions that are going on outside. And with our focus and focusing on the task at hand, our performances that followed, because this isn't going to be the first time we're going to get faced with some distractions or potential distractions or adversity. And if and or when it happens again, we know how to handle it.
Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Vega, Boston Globe.
Hi, Coach Sarkisian. It's Michael Vega of the Boston Globe. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about, you know, the expectations you had for the job when you took over there as head coach. How is the view different for you being in the head chair versus being an assistant, grad assistant, obviously, and being, you know, a quarterback's coach there under Pete Carroll? And to what extent did he have an influence in how you approach things in terms of your offensive philosophy?
Well, Pete's a great mentor of mine. I was, you know, worked for him for 7 years, and I really became close to him, not only on the field but off the field, and philosophically how he approached the job and the day, and schematically and all those things. And so he's influenced me a lot. My expectations were that, you know, I was choosing to take this job at USC because it was one of, if not the best job in America. I'm from Southern California, and there's a long line of history and tradition here of winning football and championships and accolades and all those things, and that's the expectation level here at USC. And if you take this job and that's not what you have in mind, this probably isn't the right job for you, because that's the expectation level of everybody involved with the program.
Certainly, I think you were brought aboard to bring some stability to the situation, but as someone mentioned earlier, the first few weeks have been anything but stable. Have you managed to kind of find some serenity or stability now that you face a long trip out to the East Coast?
Well, like I said, I think we handled it really well. For the guys that are on the line that cover us, you know, on a daily basis, I think, you know, when you watch us practice, when you watch us prepare, when you're around our players, you wouldn't know that there were some of these issues going on around it. And, again, I like to think that the maturity of our team, the leadership on our team had a lot to do with that. We really haven't changed, quite honestly. You know, our practice this morning, our meetings, our preparation is no different today than it was 2 weeks ago or last week. We just focus on the task at hand and what we can control. And so we really haven't changed. But, again, there's been good learning lessons for us for the future.
Last question for me, Coach, is can you fill us in on the status of Hayes Pullard, and do you intend to appeal the sanction against him?
Hayes was suspended the first half of the game here against Boston College. You don't get to appeal it. The appeal really occurs during the game, when they go and review any targeting-type penalties. And so they deemed it targeting. It occurred in the second half of last week's game, so he sat out the rest of that game and is out the first half of this one.
How does that impact your defense going forward?
Well, you know, he's obviously our captain of our defense, middle linebacker. You know, he's played a lot of football. He's been a real rock in the locker room for me from the day that I got hired. So anytime you lose a veteran leader like that, there is some concern. I thought the guys really responded well Saturday when he was ejected, of just kind of rallying together and playing really good football. We've got an adequate player, obviously, a really good player in Michael Hutchings that can step in and start for him. But, you know, anytime you lose your leading tackler and your captain, there are some concerns there.
Thanks, Coach.
Yep. Your next question comes from the line of Cal Bonaguerra, ESPN.com.
Yeah, Steve, is it possible for you to kind of gauge where the team is at, where the team's at now, kind of compared to where you might have been expecting it to be at this point, maybe at the start of fall camp?
It's a little bit hard to tell, you know, because I always expect us to do really well. You know, I didn't come in, you know, thinking that we'd fail, you know. So I will say, coming out of the game, of all of the emotion and the excitement of winning that game at Stanford, as a coaching staff, you look at the film, you go, oh, geez, we got to fix all these things. We need to improve here, we need to improve here, we need to improve here. And it's really in all three phases. And I thought the players really responded well to that yesterday when we watched the film, and we came out and had a really good practice today, because we can play a lot better than we played Saturday. And that's probably a positive, that we're able to go beat a really good football team on the road, two-time defending conference champion. They hadn't lost in 17 games at home, and we didn't play our best. I mean, we didn't play a great game, but we found a way to win. So there's definitely room for improvement for us. But again, I expect us to do well. So I don't know if we're anywhere different than where I thought we would be, quite honestly.
Okay, and then we saw a lot of Buck Allen and Aguilar against Stanford. Do you think it – will those two continue to be featured out prominently, or do you kind of like to see things spread out a little bit more?
I'd prefer it to be spread out more. I think we saw some of that in the first week against Fresno. But like I said before, every game takes on its own personality, and games go in different directions for a variety of reasons. And this game was one where Buck carried the ball a lot for us out of the backfield, and Nelson got the ball thrown his way quite a bit. So I don't foresee it being like that every single week, but this game happened to go that way, and it was good enough for us to win with.
Great, thanks.
Yeah. Your next question comes from the line of Ted Miller, ESPN.com.
The Stanford numbers in the red zone against you guys were pretty unbelievable, but Justin Wilcox's defense has kind of done that type of thing before. What were you guys doing right in the wet red zone that was keeping Stanford from getting points?
You know, Ted, oddly enough, it was a big point of emphasis of ours last week. We felt like our red zone defense the week before against Fresno was not very good. Fresno had two trips in the red zone and scored two touchdowns, and it was a big point of emphasis of ours as a team. Obviously of Justin's, and I think that the biggest thing that we did is we dug deep, you know, that people are going to move the ball. That's football, and just because they drive the ball into your red zone doesn't mean that they earn the right to score. You know, you can stop them from scoring, and I think we dug deep. We understood that messaging much better. I thought our execution was good. It wasn't great. I thought it was good. Thought we made some really good tackles in the red zone. You know, I know Sua had one that stands out to me. I know Chris Hawkins had a big one on third down on Ty Montgomery that forced the fourth down stop. I know we had a couple one-on-one wins in the pass game, balls thrown into the end zone. So, you know, I think it was a variety of things, but more than anything, it was an emphasis. And as in coaching, in the coaching world generally, you get what you preach, and if that's what you're preaching, you want to be better at something, and you coach it, and you spend extra time doing it, generally you improve in that area.
Great, thank you.
Your next question is from the line of Bud Withers, Seattle Times.
Steve, you guys had a really strong finish in recruiting last February, your first class at SC. I was wondering, how much legwork had to be made up, how much ground had to be made up, you know, after you guys took over, or, you know, especially with the local kids?
Well, you know, I think the hard part, Bud, was just sheer numbers. We didn't have a lot, and we had to sign at minimum four mid-years, or we were going to lose those scholarships. So we put a lot of focus in on the mid-year kids, and we actually signed five. which left us with 14 more for February. And the point was, you know, it was a really talented year in Southern California, so we just made it our focus and made it that was going to be the focus of ours, and we really rolled the dice a little bit because, you know, three of those kids, we didn't know, the three kids in Southern California, we didn't know until signing day that they were coming or not. And if they don't sign with us, that's three less scholarship players that we have on our roster today. But we just trusted our gut, trusted our instincts, and the time that we had spent on them, and ultimately they ended up signing with us, and you know, we're a better football team for it.
Did you feel with those three kids in particular? I mean, were you way behind at the point you took over, or had Lane staff set things up somewhat?
Well, I think they had been around here enough to know a little bit about the university. Obviously, when there's transition, you know, I don't think USC was on the forefront of their mind if they didn't know who the head coach was going to be and the staff and all those things and the schemes. But also, we had been recruiting them some ourselves at Washington, so there was just a natural kind of crossover there, I guess. So it wasn't a brand new, you know, relationship that hadn't to be forged. It's something that had been established earlier on both ends, one with our coaching staff, with the players, but also the players with the university.
And finally, in the big picture, to get the program where you want to take it, how big an obstacle is the program across town, UCLA?
Well, they're doing a really good job. You know, Jim has come in and really provided a nice spark to the program the last few years. You know, I thought, to Rick Neuheisel's credit, Rick really had a couple nice recruiting classes there at the end. Obviously, Brett Hundley was part of that class, some other guys, you know, Anthony Barr and whatnot. And then Rick has really piggybacked that, and they've got a talented team. They played a lot of energy. So, you know, for us, there's a lot of really good players in Southern California, and we're both teams are gonna recruit the types of players that they want on their roster. And in the end, I think both teams are going to be pretty good here for a while.
Thank you.
Yep.
We got time for one more question.
Your next question is from the line of Kevin Gimbel, ESPN.com.
Hey, Coach, I just want to follow up real quick on what you were talking about before with, you know, facing adversity. Obviously, you would have liked to go into Stanford and win 35-0, but that didn't happen. How important was it for you to see your guys get pushed back a little bit and play in a tight game just to kind of reveal what they're about?
I thought it was great for us. I thought it was really, really good for us. And as much as you always want to win 35-0, sometimes you gain more from winning 13-10. When your senior captain middle linebacker gets ejected, and you know, when you're down at halftime, and when your kicker has to make a 53-yarder, and you have to get a sacked fumble to secure the win. Sometimes you gain more as a team in wins like that than the ones that are 35-0. So, do I prefer it? No, I sleep a lot easier when the games go the other way. But boy, there's a lot we can lean on from this game, and we can take with us for the future of our program. And I learned a lot about our guys, and they showed me a great deal of character. They showed me a great deal of resiliency. I knew we had maturity. I knew we had leadership, but they showed me a lot. And so I was proud of them. I was proud of the effort. I was proud of the sheer will to win the game. But as I said earlier, there's a lot of things that we need to clean up and we need to get better at.
Great. Thanks, Coach.
All right, Tark, that'll do it for you today. Thanks for your time. Good luck this weekend.
Okay, thank you, guys.
You bet. See you.